Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Barry Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, at 3:30 a.m. yesterday morning, I began receiving text messages from a friend at one of our Western North Carolina churches, a church that had been set ablaze around 2 a.m. Accompanying the act of apparent arson were two messages spray-painted on the church, and both messages said precisely the same thing. And what they said was this: anti-gay hate group. In other words, they were pinning that tag on the church that they were an anti-gay hate group. Well, within an hour, police and ultimately the State Bureau of Investigation authorities were on the scene searching for evidence into who perpetrated this act. And as of this moment, those perpetrators have not yet been identified, but prayerfully soon they will. And then yesterday, a fifth woman has emerged accusing Judge Roy Moore, former Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court, of sexual improprieties. Well, the question we want to ask today is he guilty of these allegations? And if so, what does all this mean? And to be honest with you, how can we even discern whether he is guilty or not? I mean, this is something that happened almost four decades ago. Well, we're going to get into all of that in the latter part of the program. But with all of that, I want to welcome you to Stand in the Gap today. I am Dave Kistler. I'm joined today by Sam Rohr. And our special guest in segment one is a dear friend of mine who attends Providence Baptist Church in Vail, North Carolina, the church that was so aggressively and tragically attacked yesterday. His name is Kurt Abey. And Kurt, I want to welcome you to Stand in the Gap today, my friend. Thank you for being aboard.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be on here.
Well, Kurt, we are delighted to have you. And, of course, you're a member, longtime member of Providence Baptist Church. It's an incredibly tight-knit group of very loving believers. And, of course, I've ministered there on a number of occasions. I've just grown to love your pastor and the people, all of you who were so directly attacked yesterday. Let me start out by asking you this question. How did you find out about the fire that apparently was deliberately set?
There was a local firefighter had called me when they heard it come across the scanner, fire scanner, and that the fire department was being sent out to the church. And I immediately got up and went on. I thought this can't be so, that it must be a false call. But I got up and went down to the church, and there were quite a few people already there. Several fire departments were already on the scene. And the back of the church was engulfed in flames from the bottom coming up around the outside. They quickly got the fire put down.
Well, Kurt, we're glad that it was quickly put down, but still lots of damage has to be. Fortunately, no loss of life, but you're involved in helping to ascertain what the coverage is, and I think that you also are the agent for the insurance there. What kind of damage actually occurred there at that church?
Well, the fire started on the lower level in a single room, and I think most of the fire itself was contained in that room, but because of the heat and smoke, the whole lower level, which is all actually classrooms for children, is pretty much destroyed. It'll have to be all redone. But smoke, heavy smoke went up the staircase into the foyer, the sanctuary, and the smoke all leaked into the sanctuary. So there's a tremendous amount of smoke damage all in the upstairs, which is all sanctuary and foyer area.
Kurt, before I ask you the question I really want to get into, because I think our listening audience is going to find this to be amazing, do you have any preliminary idea at all what kind of price tag we're talking about to repair all this?
Well, it's extensive smoke damage. The whole downstairs, and this is what I would consider a rather large commercial building. It's probably 50 by 100 or something, two levels. The downstairs will probably have to be completely gutted and redone, and the upstairs, well, it's going to be pretty extreme to get all the smoke damage. You know, it's a sanctuary with a higher ceiling and stuff, so it's a lot of stuff, a lot of fabric, you know, cushions on the pews and carpet and all that fabric type stuff soaks in the smoke. So, yeah, I can't tell you a dollar amount. I mean, I think it's probably could be several hundred thousand dollars, maybe. It just depends once they get in there and look at it a little bit closer.
Well, where I want to go for the remainder of the time we've got with you, Kurt, is this. I know yesterday I was a part of it, and you were definitely a part of it, but most of the day, during the daylight hours of yesterday, media news crews camped out at the church. They questioned your pastor. They questioned some of your fellow members at the church. And then last evening, Providence Baptist did an amazing thing. They held a community dinner that I was actually able to attend, and it was absolutely jam-packed. Kurt, I saw no frowns. All I saw were vibrant smiles on the faces of both members of the church as well as the visitors that had been invited in. And so I'd like, from your perspective, for you to give us the response of your church to what can really only basically be described as a hate crime against them, and yet they've responded with such love toward the community. Comment on that, if you would.
Well, actually, it started out was supposed to be like maybe a simple prayer vigil at 6 p.m. that evening in the parking lot. And they had intended on having a fall festival the day before and did not, and because of the weather. And so they had hot dogs and barbecue and all this, so they decided to, there was people out there all day yesterday cooking, and actually they carried out all those boxes and cleaned those, and there were people out there working all day. And so I actually didn't get there from the office until about 20 minutes until 6, and I thought, well, I hope there's a few people here. When I drove up, you know, it was really tough to even find a parking place. I don't know the head count. There was probably, I'm guessing, 250 to 300 people there that showed up. And you know, actually, it was more of a celebration. If you look around, everybody's, you know, happy and fellowshipping and coming together. And, you know, I, as one gentleman said, there would maybe have been damage to the building, but the church itself has been reinforced. and so, you know, it was just hard to imagine. It turned into a service where people were praising God and singing and lifting up prayers, and it was it sure didn't look like any damage had done. It looked like they'd come to celebrate something.
Well, I tell you, Kurt, that's a wonderful response. On the program yesterday, we actually presented at the beginning of the program what we knew about your circumstance there, just to let people know. And I did it in the context of responding to the unexpected. And we went to the Middle East and what's happening over there, but we started with your church down there. And I wanted to ask you, and you've already kind of answered it, but you didn't expect it, but what causes a church family like that to respond to the unexpected, as you say, with a point of rejoicing rather than a point of pointing their finger and accusation against someone else who we know did wrong? But just flesh it out just a little bit in the last few seconds there. I think it would be very helpful.
Well, I think maybe one of the gentlemen that got up and prayed last night summed it up, that, you know, whoever did this, that we love those people. God loves those people. And you know, somebody's been misinformed along the way. And I think if the love of Jesus could touch that person's heart, that would change everything about them and what they do. So, you know, I think Jesus summed it up all, when he said that they will know that you're our disciples if you love one another.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Kurt Abey, member of Providence Baptist Church in Vail, North Carolina, that was set ablaze early yesterday morning. But wow, what people meant for evil has turned into something incredibly good. I'd love to talk more about this, but Kurt, thank you for being aboard. Friends, when we come back, we're going to move right into this Roy Moore situation. Is he guilty or not? Is it even possible to determine that? Find out after this brief timeout.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K-12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Americans are a freedom-loving people. Wouldn't it be great if you could carry a copy of the essential documents that outline our freedoms written by our nation's founders in your pocket so you can refer to it every day? Well, now you can. Stand in the Gap Radio has found something you're sure to like, the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide. The handy guide is a slim 6.5 by 3.5 inches, yet it includes the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, the preamble to the Bill of Rights, and other influential documents, including, in the words of our founders, topical quotes from America's founders, plus a listing of online resources for further research by the serious-minded or the just plain curious. To see and request your copy of the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide and make your tax-deductible gift of any amount, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Let us hear from you today. Thank you, and God bless you.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, last Thursday, the initial accusation was levied, and it was that Judge Roy Moore had an inappropriate relationship with a 14-year-old girl. Three other women immediately came forward and said that they either dated or went out briefly with Judge Moore when he was in his 30s, and they were in their late teens. And then yesterday, late afternoon, a fifth woman with celebrity attorney Gloria Allred in tow emerged accusing Judge Moore of sexual assault when she was 17 years of age. So you would almost have to have your head buried in the sand if you were not aware of some of these allegations that have now been going on for about 5 days. The question is, where are we with all of this? Is this true? Is it not true? And how can we even discover whether something is true when it's 40 years old? Well, here to help us with all of this is a member of Judge Moore's campaign staff, chief of staff. His name is Rich Hobson. He's a friend of mine. Rich, it is a blessing and a delight to have you aboard. Thank you for coming on and being willing to address some of these allegations.
David, it's great to be on here as well, and just taking a break from the darkness around here. I'm glad to be on your show.
Well, we hope we're a little bit of light to something I know you need right now. But listen, let's just start here, and I'm just going to ask a general question. All of these allegations are out there. There are some that have already convicted Judge Moore just based on the allegations. One of the things we have said in the last several days is no one is guilty merely because of accusation. If guilt by accusation is where we're going, we're in trouble in America. So why don't we just start there and let you address the allegations and just tell us, where are we with all of this? Is this true? Is it not true?
Okay, that's fair to ask. So when they came out on Thursday, we were shocked. And Judge Moore emphatically denied the false allegations on Thursday. I think the lead person, Ms. Korfman, Judge Moore has never known her. He does not know her. He's never known her. And it was just a string of lies on Thursday with all of the women who came out. Yesterday's falsehoods that came out of Gloria Allred's client, Ms. Nelson, again, he has never met Ms. Nelson before, and they too are lies, and there's holes all the way through the stories, but today's media and establishment Republicans joining in, my goodness, they are having the trial on the media, and it's false accusations, they are lies, it has not happened. And they are trying to ruin the reputation of a great man, of a good man who has worked hard to get to this point right here, a man who has allowed the Lord to work through him and who has been trained up for this time right here. He denies all of these, and we pray that the Lord will shine the light on the darkness and uncover these lies and show the truth.
Well, we look at this, and on this program, we deal with issues of the day, of which this, unfortunately, praying that God may turn it around to his glory, it's on the front page. And people are all beside themselves. In reality, people don't know what to believe. And what we're wanting to do, hopefully through this program here today with you, is to help walk through what the response ought to be for those who our objective, those who would be Christians, those who would be conservatives, who would say we just don't want to go along just because we know somebody, but there's a process involved here. And so you brought that up, and Dave asked you that question, are these things true? And you are stating here that the judge have said, no, they are lies. Let's be precise.
They are lies.
Okay, let's go a little further then. See, now you have an attorney who was representing one of these women yesterday, who now stands up and when her own license, she's making this case and they lay this thing out. I read what that woman said, and it was very difficult to understand what she was saying. She didn't remember whether she got out of the car, whether she was thrown out of the car, whether she was rolled out of the car. A lot of things that you think you would remember more significantly if they were real. But what happens in this kind of a process, and how does it complicate it from your perspective when you have people, as you said, you got an attorney who steps in, you have members of Congress who actually stepping in. They don't know the facts either, but they're getting on board. From your perspective, I mean, here's the judge. He's been Supreme Court leader in Alabama. You know what's going on. What is the potential damage to our system of justice when this kind of thing actually is tried in the public square before there's any kind of proof of it? Just lay that implications if you could.
Sure. I would say the implications are every lady or gentleman out there who has prayed about running for office are probably going, well, wait a minute. You know, I not only have to worry about things that I may have done in my past, but I have to worry about whatever can be made up. And, of course, the sky is the limit on that. And I would say, please, for ladies and gentlemen out there who are praying to run for office, because we desperately need conservative Christians in government, I would say, please continue to pray and please continue to follow God's will, because the Lord will win supremely in this instance here with Judge Roy Moore and in your instance also. And the Lord is still in control of things down here, and we expect Judge Moore to be exonerated out of this. He will be fine, and we will continue to move forward. But, you know, just looking at the different facts of this, this Gloria Allred, okay, she's a liberal Democratic attorney. She's taking credit for Roe v. Wade, and this is what she does. So a lot of drama and a lot of flash. And in the coming days, we will get to the heart of that and be able to diminish what she is saying and discredit woman who has come forward. And we will continue to do that. Right now, I mean, people are out there doing research, investigation to be able to turn back all of these lies. And but so in the meantime, I guess you have to look at the man, at Judge Roy Moore, and the different things that he has done. I mean, yes, recently he was Supreme Court Chief Justice. Okay, well, that's the highest position in the judicial branch in the state of Alabama and in any state. And he was elected by the people, and he was vetted by that process of looking at anything and everything he had ever done in his life. Okay? Now, before that, he had been Chief Justice again, where he was vetted through the process, where he was looked at with anything he's ever done and or said in his life. And before that, he was a circuit judge, a trial judge, where, again, nothing had ever come out. He was vetted in that process, and that was locally where he's from, where supposedly these women are all from and where their allegations occurred. And even before that, he had run for judge in the 80s, and this had never come out. He had run for district attorney in the 80s. This had never come out. And he had run for another judgeship, I believe, in 1981 or 1982, and this had never, ever come out. And this was in the same community that these falsehoods are alleged to have occurred. So here it is. It's 40 years later. We've got the number one, the most important election that is going on in the United States of America. And now allegations come out, and it's false. It is dirty politics of the worst kind. And Dave, let me just throw this out. We knew that this would be a tough race, a tough campaign. But actually, I guess we're pretty naive, because I thought the toughness was going to be being bashed on the truth, being dragged under the mud or dragged down into the mud because of Judge Moore's stance on the acknowledgement of God and the Ten Commandments battle back in 2003, or his stand for traditional marriage in the past couple of years. that those would be the things that would make these tough days. So we never in our wildest imagination could imagine lies being told. And it's a time for folks to pray. It is a time for folks to stand behind this man who has proven himself, this man who is West Point educated, this man who fought in Vietnam. He was a company commander in Vietnam. This man who has been, like I said before, trained up for a time such as this. And I tell you what, Dave, I believe it is also a time for folks to not just back him up and pray for him, although we do need those prayers, but to contribute to the campaign. The world is against his campaign and against him, and right now would be the perfect time to go to roymoore.org and show your support.
So Rich, let me jump in because I appreciate you giving the website there. It's roymoore.org if you would like to contribute. Rich, you brought up, and we have just a couple of seconds here. We'll pick it up on the other side and let you answer, but you brought up two great points. Number one, this man has been vetted all along the process. Every time he has run, he has been vetted, and none of this has emerged. None of this has shown up, but now it does. And I want to talk to you after the break about the vetting process. But before we go to the break, I want to pose this question because something came out yesterday that was attached to this latest accuser's story, and that was a supposed comment that then District Attorney Roy Moore wrote in a yearbook that this young lady who's now accusing him when she was supposedly 17 years of age, he wrote that comment in her yearbook. Is that comment factual? Was that something he wrote in a yearbook, or is that something that's been made up?
It is something that has been made up. And I know late last night I had seen some different news reports that were talking about folks who look at handwriting analysis, and they could tell that the handwriting wasn't the same for the note that was written there or the signature, and I believe it has been placed into a yearbook to orchestrate their lies. So, yeah.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry to interrupt Rich, but ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Rich Hobson, Chief of Staff for Alabama Senate candidate Roy Moore. When we come back from the break, we're going to ask Rich some more questions about this entire scenario. What is the vetting process that takes place anytime a candidate runs for the offices for which Judge Roy Moore has run down through his life? Because the vetting process is very extensive. Don't miss this conversation on Stand in the Gap today.
Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung in Jerusalem, Israel. You often hear me on Stand in the Gap Today with Sam, Dave, and Gary. Guess what? We're all coming to Israel. Love to have you come and go with us. The dates are March the 7th through the 21st. That will include 10 days in Israel, 4 days in Petra, one of the most unique cities in all the world. If you need more information, the itinerary, the exact dates, also the information about cost, call this number, 423-825-6247. That's 423-825-6247. Ask for Jody. She can give you all the information as Stand in the Gap Today and Prophecy Today go host a tour to Israel. Next year in Jerusalem, we're looking forward to you being here with us.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, does the name Anita Hill bring up any memories to you? It should, because this woman, in the most salacious manner possible and before a congressional committee, accused then High Court nominee Clarence Thomas of incredible things. Now, we know those things of which she accused him have all since been proven to be totally untrue. And Clarence Thomas now sits as one of the 9 members of the highest court in the land, the Supreme Court of the United States. At the end of what was a soap opera that played out on television, amid all these incredibly false and salacious allegations, Clarence Thomas made a statement that I have never forgotten. He said, and I quote, "This was the high-tech lynching of a black man," end quote. I have said via Facebook and to people that I've spoken with face-to-face, what I believe is taking place right now with Judge Roy Moore, but not just with him, with so many that Rich so powerfully said earlier are thinking about running for office, have chosen to run for office. They're conservative, they're Christian, especially if they're both of those things. They face an onslaught of allegations against them that results in being nothing more than the attempted high-tech lynching of good people. And ladies and gentlemen, if that's what's taking place in America, and I believe it is, it must stop. If someone is guilty of something, they need to face the consequences of their actions, and they need to be found and held accountable for what they've done. But no one in America, we have a constitution that says this, no one is guilty merely because they've been accused. There must be proof. And the assumption and the presumption in America is you are innocent until you are proven guilty. And yet in the media, certainly with those on the left and with, tragically, I'm afraid, far too many on the right or would call themselves on the right, they are assuming that Judge Roy Moore is guilty merely because the accusations have been leveled against him. Rich, I want to come back to you, and I want to have you do something. It's something I've not heard anyone else talk about. If it's been discussed, I've missed it, but I've heard no one on any of the major media outlets talk about the vetting process through which someone like Judge Moore has to go each time he runs for one of the offices that he has held down through his stellar career. Would you talk a little bit about the vetting process and why it is almost impossible to believe that these allegations that are currently being leveled against him, how they could not have come out during the vetting process prior?
Well, yes, Brother Dave, I appreciate you asking that. You know, from early on in Judge Roy Moore's career, I mean, as an Army officer, as a West Point cadet, as a newly sworn-in attorney, he had to undergo different background investigations where they checked everything he'd ever done in his life, and he, of course, passed and proceeded in all of those. So that's one vetting process, and that in turn occurred throughout his life in the legal process with these different positions and elected positions that he has had. But the true vetting process has been in these hotly contested races that he has been in, of which every one of them, the three local races that he was in before he was Chief Justice, they were hotly contested. And then as Chief Justice, he ran twice for governor and then elected again as Chief Justice in 2012. These were, again, contested races where opposition research was done on him to the hilt, you know, as much as they could do. But then I guess the greatest example is just recently when Judge Roy Moore prevailed in the runoff election against his opponent, the opponent who spent $38 million to try to beat him. And millions of those $38 million were spent on opposition research against Judge Moore to find anything that they could do. Well, they couldn't find anything, and they started making up things about the Foundation for Moral Law and about other things about Judge Roy Moore and his business dealings, and they were unfounded. And Judge Roy Moore prevailed, and he won, and he is the Republican nominee. But that is the true vetting process. It has been these opponents that he has had who have tried to dig up anything and everything they could, and it has never, ever, ever come out. I have known him since 1993. I've worked with him since 2000, and we've never heard anything like this, ever. Not a hint of indiscretion. So we are shocked. We're appalled. I know that the Bible tells us that we shouldn't be surprised when things like this come up. For righteous men, for godly men, but I am surprised. But I know that our Lord stands with us, and he will continue to push us through and push Judge Roy Moore through to the finish line.
Rich, let me follow up a little bit more on that. This goes to perhaps a more personal side. You have individuals, some of them in the Senate, some of them other Republican leaders who are threatening, you know, they won't seat him or those kinds of, in my opinion, bizarre things because there are no precedent for him. I can say that because I've been in office. But that being the case, those individuals who are speaking out, have any of them, be they, you know, professing Christians or not, have any of them ever picked up the phone in this process and called the judge to talk with him personally?
Absolutely not. No, they
see,
have.
See,
they
see,
have read
see,
the
see,
paper. Wow, see, that is stunning. That's a great question, Sam.
See, that doesn't surprise me. It doesn't surprise me, Rich. I didn't know what you were going to say. But I think that goes to the very, very heart of this whole piece of what we're saying, is that the problem here is that we are trying a case by accusation here in the public square, not going through the process, and even those who have a responsibility, those innocent and others, of upholding the law, they themselves have not done the professional courtesy of picking up the phone and calling you or calling the judge for a private discussion. I think that is extraordinarily telling.
You know, I'll tell you what, I think it's worse than that. It, not only did they not call, it's almost like they had their statements prepared before the allegations even came out, because they were so quick to respond. It's like they were reading off of a script. And I'm talking about Mitch McConnell. I'm talking about establishment folks like that in Washington, D.C., who apparently have been looking for anything, everything to be able to denounce Judge Roy Moore and try to smear his reputation and ruin his career. But they just jumped a little bit too quick, but certainly they did not call and ask anything.
Rich, let me ask you this. Obviously, we are still about 27, 28 days away from what I believe personally is the most critical election for the United States Senate in our lifetime. And I think the reason it's the case is because I work in Washington, D.C. I have a ministry there, Rich, as you well know. And I can just tell you this, those that love righteousness, the thought of Roy Moore being in the United States Senate is a thing that is incredibly attractive and appealing to them. Those that hate righteousness, those that are motivated by political motivations only, are scared out of their minds that Roy Moore may be in the United States Senate. So for the next 27, 28 days, I'm sure we could probably anticipate that other things are going to come out, other faces are going to show up in the media. Is there anything that you guys are hearing that would lead you to believe that there's going to be more of this, not less of it, in the next 27, 28 days?
Well, I would say just kind of the common sense on that is that since there's no standard that the enemy is going by, the standard being, you know, is it the truth or not, then I would say, yeah, there's no telling what's going to come out. And I would expect them to do more and more. These are the horrible, troubling times that we live in, and we have got to hold near and dear to our Lord and Savior. And if you're asking what folks can do out there for your listening audience, I'd say, first of all, pray. Pray for God's mighty will to be done. That's what we ask, and that's all we've asked for in this entire campaign. Not directly that Judge Roy Moore would win. It was for the Lord's will to be done. Now, I believe that the Lord wants Judge Roy Moore in the U.S. Senate, and that he will work through him for not just the citizens of Alabama, but the citizens of the United States of America. So we do ask for prayers. And I also ask for support. I pray that folks will go to roymoore.org and they will prayerfully consider giving to this campaign. The world is against Judge Roy Moore. And this is it is such a contrast. And these are the times that we have read about and that we've prepared for, and that we need to rally together and support this man, this good man who is offering himself up for public service and who has done so for 40 years and who has weathered the storm. And now he is weathering this storm as well. But we need your help. We need your prayers. We need your support. And it's roymoore.org. And I challenge everybody to pray about that and go do that.
Rich, I think that's a good counsel. Let me just go here. This is an Alabama vote. The rest of the country are not going to be voting on this. What's been the response of the people on the ground in Alabama to this fight, which is being primarily conducted across national airwaves? How are they responding to this?
Praise God. It is a good, great response. Judge Roy Moore still leads in the polls. Judge Roy Moore is still being able to collect support. And to have Alabama voters come together and rally behind him. And I give the Lord all the credit and glory for that. But it has been that way the entire campaign. That's the only way that Judge Roy Moore beat $38 million in the runoff election. That's the only way that he was the leader in the primary against all odds and against all of the money. But it is the Lord's mighty favor, and he's turned back all of the ammunition that the enemy has offered up. And I thank God for that and pray for his continued steadfastness.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Rich Hobson, Chief of Staff for Judge Roy Moore. When we come back, we're going to tie all this together and talk about what must be done to prevent this kind of thing, guilt by accusation, from happening in the future. Don't miss the conversation.
Americans are a freedom-loving people. Wouldn't it be great if you could carry a copy of the essential documents that outline our freedoms written by our nation's founders in your pocket so you can refer to it every day? Well, now you can. Stand in the Gap Radio has found something you're sure to like, the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide. The handy guide is a slim 6.5 by 3.5 inches, yet it includes the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, the preamble to the Bill of Rights, and other influential documents, including, in the words of our founders, topical quotes from America's founders, plus a listing of online resources for further research by the serious-minded or the just plain curious. To see and request your copy of the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide and make your tax-deductible gift of any amount, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Let us hear from you today. Thank you, and God bless you.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit BJUPress.com. That's BJUPress.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Stand in the Gap Today. I am Dave Kistler. Sam Rohrer is also aboard today, and we have as our very special guest Rich Hobson, who is Chief of Staff for Senate candidate Roy Moore. And again, we're talking about these incredibly salacious allegations that are almost four decades old that are being leveled against him here just 30 days from the most important Senate election that I believe that there has been in my lifetime. And I say that because of the nature of the state of Alabama. I say that because of the nature of who Judge Moore is, what his judicial philosophy is, what his view of the Constitution is, his view of God and the Bible that has been impeccably consistent down through 40 years of public service. All of these things literally make him a version of a Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. If I could use that illustration, any of you that have seen that outstanding classic film with Jimmy Stewart. And so this is important stuff that we are talking about. So, Rich, I want to go back to you again, thanking you for being aboard. A couple of days ago, because of the allegations that have emerged, the Republican Party withdrew its financial support from Judge Moore. What I'd like for you to do, people hear that, they don't know what that means, they don't know the impact of that, they don't know how that takes place. Could you share a little bit about how that happens and what that means for a candidate at this stage of a high-profile Senate race?
Well, yes, sir. And let me just throw in, that was the Senate Leadership Fund, the Republican Senate Fund, and, you know, they didn't want to give to us anyway, okay? They were the people who funneled the millions and millions of dollars to our opponent in the runoff election. But I tell you what it means and what they want it to mean. They want it to, they want to shut off the support. They want to shut off the supply of money coming into this campaign. Now, we have learned that the Lord doesn't give us what we want. The Lord gives us what we need. Okay. And I believe that the money that has come into this campaign, first of all, I believe it's a miracle that we made it through every step because we've been against, you know, 8-1, 16-1. I mean, you cannot do that and unless the Lord is with you, unless God's mighty hand comes in. But we do need support. And I believe that all the money that has come to us has been prayerfully given, that our supporters and folks who want Judge Roy Moore to be Senator Roy Moore, that they have prayed about donations and that they have given according to how the Lord has led them. So I would ask anyone listening to prayerfully consider, to truly prayerfully consider, and to support this man who will go to Washington, D.C. to protect your rights. And you're right, I'm in Alabama. I mean, I'm an Alabamian. But Judge Roy Moore, standing for religious liberty for everyone, he will be a force that the Lord will use nationwide. And it could even have worldwide impact. But to go to roymoore.org and to prayerfully give, that's what I would suggest. And yes, the media is trying to cut off the supply. The establishment in Washington, D.C., those are the Republicans. It's not all Republicans, but it's the establishment in Washington, D.C. They're trying to cut off the money supply, and they are trying to change the direction of this campaign. I believe that the Alabama voters are smarter than that, and that they see through the farce, and that they will vote according to their convictions, and that they will vote for Judge Roy Moore to be Senator Roy Moore.
Well, Rich, you've laid out some good things there, and I think you identified things properly. Again, we're looking at it here. We've had you on before. I know the judge. You know he's worked for a long time. So does Dave. But we want to make it clear to those who are listening that our reason for focusing on this, ladies and gentlemen, is not just because we know the man. It does help. Believe me, it does help. And, Rich, I'm glad for the things that you have said so strongly and so assertively. But as we look at this whole thing, my great fear here, Rich, is that if the American people don't wake up to the fact of how justice is being so completely turned on the head, when, as Dave said earlier, when the whole concept of innocence until proven guilty, when the whole concept in law that the accuser has the right to be faced by the accused, and you have to walk through this process deliberately before you come to a conclusion. To me, I look at this process being led by the Senate establishment Republicans who are making determinations and pronouncing judgment before they've even talked with this judge, as you have just said. They are making judgments of what they are going to do if he is elected, is all a gigantic violation of their own oath to support the Constitution. And I do know this about the judge, is that his support of the Constitution, no one is more supportive nor knows more about it than this judge. So I find it interesting that the real conflict here is that we're going to throw the Constitution aside and concepts of justice and try to, you know, do a public lynching, more or less, disregarding the whole process. That's my fear as I'm looking at this, and I'm praying personally, Rich, I'm praying that the truth comes out here. Not just about these accusers, but this whole process that people understand what is at stake.
Yes, sir, and that is my prayer as well. And let me say that I apologize if I've been ranting a little bit too much during this hour. You know, these lies, these allegations, they get us incensed about it because it's just hard to imagine people making up things about such a godly man. So let me say that I am very appreciative of the prayers, of the support, and how the Lord has just proceeded with this campaign from day one. And we are very, very thankful, and we give God the credit about everything that we've been able to do. And Judge Moore has been able to do, and he thanks God every day. We all start with prayer every day. So I apologize for my tone earlier in the broadcast, but we do praise God, and we know that he is with us, and we can feel his presence, and we are appreciative of y'all as well for allowing the Lord to work through you through this broadcast, not just today, but every single day. And I pray that you will continue and that God will bless you in abundance.
Rich, let me ask one final question before we have Sam take us to the throne of grace in prayer. We always try to close the program in prayer, and we really want to pray about this situation. But one final word of advice from you to those that are watching this play out. My concerns are identical to Sam's, that the process of innocent till proven guilty, that the entire system we have in the United States is in jeopardy if false allegations are allowed to be leveled against someone. No trial, no proof, just assume they are guilty in the court of public opinion and then affect their lives dramatically for the rest of their life. So I'm concerned about that, but I'm also concerned about the fact that, as you said so powerfully earlier, people are going to be afraid to run if they know these kind of things are out there. Just about 10 seconds worth of admonition to them, and then, Sam, take us to the throne of grace in prayer.
Sure. Let the Lord lead, guide, and direct you. He is still in control, and I'm exceedingly thankful for that. But God still reigns, and he will prevail in this. So y'all, please continue to know that.
All right, absolutely. Let's go to prayer here. Heavenly Father, we are thankful to you that we can come and bring these matters of public interest to the public in this fashion. Thank you that Rich can be on here and be speaking on behalf of the judge here in this case. Lord, we pray that justice would prevail, that truth would come forward, that efforts to lie and deceive would be shoved aside, and for the glory of God, that you would lift up that person you want, this judge, however this whole thing, work it out, Lord, for your glory, we pray. Help people to see through the lies, to think wisely, to think appropriately. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, friends, our guest has been Rich. Rich, thank you for being aboard so much. December 12 is the finish line, so to speak, with respect to this highly important Senate race. Friends, please pray between now and then and stand for truth where you are.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.